16 to go till 5 o'clock here on Downtown, and it's time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, right between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill. Eric Meehan joining us in studio. Good day, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody out there in Radioland and folks here in the studio.
Thank you. It's nice to have you here with us.
Nice to be here. As I was telling you right after this, I'm running around because I got to get over to our friend Bob Cutler's place and have a delicious Japanese-inspired meal. So I've been waiting for that all day. I've never actually had, for all the things I've had in my life, I've never actually had like Wagyu beef. I grew up on a cow farm, but I was like, ugh, beef with more fat. And then I was like, wait, beef with more fat. Yeah, I'll be checking that out eagerly, and
nice.
That's cool. And also, I don't like drink sake. I don't bring sake home, and so it's really cool you get to go out and have some stuff like that. So I hope to see some of you who are listening out there tonight.
And that that raindrop cake.
Oh yeah,
that thing looks incredible.
Well, you know, Dustin is a very, very talented chef, and I'm glad he finally is getting a chance to flex his muscles. The folks who come through Fiddlehead, they have got a very good tree. Yeah. And they know what they're doing, and so Dustin is definitely living proof of that. And,
absolutely.
So for anybody who forgets what we've been chatting about, in June we've started our official world tour, and we've been talking about France, and we'll be talking about Germany in the next 2 weeks. But today we're finishing up with the major sections of France. When we were talking about terroir, we talked about Burgundy, and we talked about Champagne. Last week we talked a little bit about the Loire Valley, we talked about Bordeaux, and sort of that whole Atlantic coast. Because, you know, it's a gigantic swath of land that we feel like we can condense into about 5 minutes, which is fair. Today we're going to be doing basically the same thing with sort of the Rhone Valley and then the southern coast of France. And I kind of want to touch on two distinct different parts of this. So what we're going to do is really quickly hit the Rhone Valley. So if you remember when we were talking about Burgundy, it's kind of about two-thirds of the way east into France towards the Alps. And it runs along the Saône River, sort of north to south. And directly south of Burgundy is the region of the Northern Rhone. It's a very, very dramatic region. If folks like river cruises, if you go down the Rhone River, it's very, very steep hillsides, very dangerous and treacherous to farm. And their main red grape is Syrah, just like it is Pinot Noir, just a little farther north in Burgundy. And their winemaking style is very, very similar to Burgundy in terms of aesthetics, in terms of this single grape varietal mentality. And also bear in mind that the Northern Rhone is separated from what we call the Southern Rhone by quite a distance. And so it's a really very different beast, and it's very hard to talk about in terms of the Rhone because it's tremendously different. For those of you who like Syrah, especially kind of really dark, rich, dank, herbal-smelling Syrah, the Northern Rhone is rife with that sort of stuff. You have appellations like Crow's Hermitage, of course, Hermitage, Côte Rôti, which is the famous roasted hillside where it just gets incredibly hot, and just tremendous wines come out of that region. And then you have some very little white wine in that region, and when you can find it, if you can find it, it's about 5% of what they make. Check it out. It's always very interesting. It's not what they're necessarily known for, except the Viognier in a little region called Condria, which is some of the most exquisite and expensive wine you'll ever drink. So if you do have a chance to drink Condria, especially on somebody else's dime, I highly recommend that you do that. Now we're going to go to the Southern Rhone and the southern coast of France. And why am I taking all this in one? Well, because I'm going to kind of call it the land of Grenache, the Grenache grape. And we're going to be drinking some Grenache in about a minute. Grenache is a really wonderful grape. It's very easy to grow, and people love it. The Spanish also claim it. It grows deep into the Iberian Peninsula. There they call it Garnacha. They claim it. Its provenance is there. The French claim its provenance is in France, because what else would you expect? But it's a thick-skinned grape. It handles heat very well. It handles strange climate dips and falls very well. And so it's grown in a lot of places. And it's also a very big, bold, fruity wine, and it can be made into wonderful fruity rosés, dark, rich reds, and really anything like that. And then there's a whole host of other grapes that you find in the Southern Rhone Valley going into the Languedoc, which is where our wine is from today, that complement it, including the Syrah from the Northern Rhone, grapes like Mourvèdre, Carignan, really, really expressive grapes that when you blend, and blending is really the key in this region, you come up with absolutely stunning, stunning wines. It's a very, like I said, it's a very, very diverse climate. one of the cool things, there are still certain pockets where you can find vines that are very ancient pre-phylloxera. There's a whole bunch of overgrown lands that young winemakers who are driven can still afford to buy and go in and work and make cool things. The Languedoc, especially, as opposed to the Rhone, has very little in terms of strict rules and what you can and can't do. And so that leads to a lot of very, very interesting things coming out of there, including a lot of natural wines. We've had this huge movement towards not only organically farmed wines, but wines made in natural ways using wild yeasts, things like that. And there's just tremendous playground opportunity for a lot of folks down there. Whereas, as we talked about last year, in the Rhone Valley, you have quite specific limitations on what you can use, grapes you can use, what you can call it, how long you have to age it, all this sort of stuff that, frankly, a lot of winemakers have no particular use for. They're just trying to make a wine that's tremendously good to drink, which leads me to this. So this is from, there's a city called Montpellier, which is about halfway, if you want to divide the French coast into in half, where the East Languedoc meets the West Languedoc. And there you find Chateau Flaugergue. This is a winery I have been working with for a long time, I guess ever since I moved up here in 2009. Tremendously consistent in terms of their quality. They, as I was talking about, do a Grenache heavy blend. There's some Syrah and some Carignan and Mourvèdre in it. They always vary the blend because the point is not making the same wine, it's making the best wine possible. It's still tremendously affordable, which is also very nice. The Languedoc is not only where you get terrible blends like Fat Bastard and stuff like that that are made for Americans, but also really, really good blends that aren't necessarily made for Americans, but Americans with a palate appreciate. So this is a wine that still is sitting under the $20 hash mark, and it has been ever since I got up here, and it's tremendously good. So I really, really like it for that. And you find this, these, everything that Americans, I think, really like in dry red wines. I mean, it's bold. It's got a little grip. It's got dark, jammy fruit. You know, it's almost plummy in its way. And I think people who like, you know, these big, bold Napa blends that are based on Zinfandel, or, you know, they like the structure that, you know, they have, or maybe perhaps the lack thereof. I think you really ought to try these wines from the southern part of France, just because they're grapes that you might not have. Well, I'm sure you've probably heard of them at this time because you're listening to this show.
Yeah.
But if they're grapes that you're not really comfortable with or familiar with, I'd advise you try them anyway, because for the price you're going to pay, even if you hate it, you're going to say, it was $15. Whereas a lot of these wines from other regions, again, like the Northern Rhone, or the Southern Rhone rather, where you're finding a lot of the same grapes, if you're buying a Chateau Neuf du Pape, you're starting at about $60-$65 a bottle. If you're buying, you know, a lesser appellation, Gigondas, Vacaras, some of the wines we've had here, you're still starting at about $25 a bottle. So the southern coast of France, check it out. I highly advise it. While I still have a minute or two, there's a couple things coming up at the store.
This is great, by the way.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
A lot of character. It's very bold. Yeah. I like this. Mr. Haskell, what did you think?
Yeah, it's I'm developing a much bigger appreciation for the red wines.
I think Carrie's dreaming of absinthe. I think that's
he may
cool.
well be.
Yeah, which leads me to, speaking of, we have this Friday, I hope to see many of you at Wine on the Waterfront, which is being held by our Convention and Visitors Bureau, the CVB. And it is going to be all main wineries, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And yes, there will be an absinthe there as well from our friends at Tree Spirits, which is very, very good, even Cajun approved. So, you know, check it out.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that last year.
And lots of other wines grown here in Maine. A lot of friends, Savage Oaks, that we've tasted here on the show, and a bunch of others. So check them out. And we'll be there taking pre-orders, as we have at Bangor Uncorked and other festivals. So if you like any of the wines that you taste there, come and visit our booth and say hello and pick some up. We'll have special event pricing. Before that happens this week, on Thursday, we are going to have our friend, Brother Donald, from the Friars Brewhouse and Bakehouse, showing his new beers. He just got a two-barrel system set up, so he's now officially still the smallest brewer probably in Maine, but that's cool because he's fantastic and we love him. So he's going to be in-house showing some of his stuff from 5 to 7 p.m. this Thursday, and we're also going to be trying some French and German wines. And then next Thursday, the 22nd, we're going to have the Riesling und Rosé revival, all German stuff, with our special guest Nancy Peach from Rudi Wiest Imports. Fantastic rosés. If you've never had German rosés, you must check them out. Must. And also some excellent Rieslings. So that will be 5 to 7 on the 22nd. And we're still lining things up for the coming weeks and months ahead. So even though it's summer and things kind of slow down, you know, on the regular wine tip, but we'll round it out. We'll keep you interested. And do brave the construction, because they're moving right along.
Absolutely.
Dug-a-dung, dug-a-dung, and they'll be gone before you know it. And there's still ample parking. You just got to walk a little bit. And frankly, it's good for you.
And I put in another plug for 44 North Coffee because it's so good.
It's so good. If I wake up without it, I get in trouble.
I don't want that to happen. I've seen it. It's not pretty.
I tried to make coffee this morning. It went horribly wrong. I did everything right, but in the wrong order. I didn't know it was possible, but I literally did. It's all right. It went better the second time. Nice.
Well, have fun tonight. We look forward to your report on the Japanese-themed dinner.
I will give a strict but fair report on that, no doubt. And I look forward to seeing you all in the shop and also on the waterfront.
Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown. Stop in and see Eric and the whole crew at 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead.